Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you are here in the form of the Holy Ghost and a pillar of fire amongst the bride, and yet everywhere the saints are, because you're also by your Holy Spirit in the bride, Lord, and we appreciate that so much, learning more and more how wonderful you are, how to disassociate ourselves from time and space and be more comfortable in the eternity of God, which doesn't know time or space. Lord, we appreciate it, because we would not have known it for this, except for this hour. And the messenger you sent, certainly showing your love and your grace, Lord, that you have identified yourself with man and through men, and the identification will continue to your glory through ages we know nothing of, Lord. We cannot even begin to realize, with the Holy Spirit giving us, what it's all about. But we know that as we come within the scope of it, Lord, always after the fact, we'll know more and more and more. A continuous unfolding. And we appreciate, Lord, the reality of it. We're glad that there is a reality. Seems that so few of us, Lord, ever get to the place of a reality, that there is a millennium. There is a white throne judgment after the second resurrection. There is a cleansing of the heaven and earth, a remolding, a reforming, that there is a new Jerusalem. All of these things are there, Lord. And it's just, perhaps, Lord, we're just latecomers, as it were. We're slow learners, but we are learning, Father, the truth of it, and we're so glad. We know that this takes revelation, and that encourages us. So therefore we know that faith is moving, O God. We're not standing still, moving up by the word. We appreciate it so much, Lord. Help us now tonight in this study. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this is Perfect Faith number 14. And I don't know if we can finish tonight. I wish we could. We'll just try to go fast. And last Sunday, we took the entire message on the outworking of faith and love based on Brother Branham's statement that 1, love and faith are relatives. 2, faith and love work together. 3, love produces faith, or as Paul said, love makes faith work. We studied the principle set forth by Brother Branham as we found it in Romans 5:1-5. That's on love and faith. And came to a conclusion that both faith and love are enhanced and magnified by the trials of life, wherein we develop character as we gain victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. When we ponder the statements of Romans 5:1-5, we can't help but see the reality and substance of faith, and acknowledge the power and authority and effectiveness of the kingdom of God in our lives. In other words, it's an experiential life. We experience it, we do not experiment with it, we experience it, and we've showed conclusively by Scripture that as we go through the trials, our faith begins to take on a new dimension, and our love also. It certainly is enhanced and magnified as we are taught. Now, Brother Branham, having finished his comments on love, moved back to the perfect faith in his own ministry for this hour, and went directly to Mark 11 for the speaking of the Word, declaring what he himself had actually witnessed. In other words, that scripture is living in William Branham. In this case, it was the creation of squirrels, which he affirmed to be a greater miracle than when Joshua spoke and the sun stood still. And you realize, he said, those were just elements that were stopped and they're moving, but this was the creation. At this point, he clearly averred this act of creation gave him a perfect faith for his own resurrection, and emphatically set forth that the faith evoked by his ministry was the anchor in Christ himself that entered within the veil and guaranteed our lives were eternal while death reigned around us. It's death not to enter in. Nothing outside this message will come to life. Put them together, you can understand the entering within the veil is where we're anchored right now within Christ. Anything else is wrong, is outside of him. Thus we are assured, as he himself was assured, if we believed in what he said. So we have the great assurance of the resurrection, which means we're going to walk into eternity, as you'll see as we go along in this message, based on exactly what he said. We'll come to a very strong definition. He stood before us and declared himself a living example of Mark 11, as he said in paragraph 152. And in paragraph 153, he refers again to Christ and his ministry and links his own with it in John 14:12 and Mark 11:23, and encourages us to draw on his ministry and revelation. So, all right, we'll go back here and see. I want to find this for you here. turned upside, right side up, I'll get it. All right, now Brother Branham is speaking in paragraph 153, and he said, David in the psalm spoke of him. Who him? Jesus Christ. And with it, he took his power and he ministered to others. Now what you're seeing here is that Jesus identified himself in the psalms. And he took the authoritative power that was said concerning him in the psalms. And he ministered to others. He could not minister in the authoritative power outside of that word. He was linked and a part of it because he was the word. Not only did he keep it to himself, but he ministered to others by it. Now let's read it my way to get a little more understanding. And not only was it a treasure in himself and for himself. This is what was in the scripture, declared by the psalmist, the Holy Spirit, but he ministered to others by it. Also saved others, even to the uttermost, like the thief on the cross. It mentions that he made his death, you know, with the wicked, and he's in the grave, he was a poor man in the grave, but with the rich, he was in a great rich man's grave. And he can do the same thing now. In other words, he's saying, look, when there is a scripture that should be fulfilled concerning God himself, no matter how that is fulfilled, and we're talking in terms it will be fulfilled by people and in people, that ministry coming out of that word will be a powerful, effective thing in the one who is used of God, but also powerful and effective to the saving to the uttermost of the others. Now, that's a strong statement for Brother Branham to make, but if you don't see it that way, you're not seeing this message in my books, because you can't get strong enough when it comes to God and His Word. We are too weak concerning it. We're lukewarm. We're wishy-washy. And he said, we need is red hot, and to be red hot, you are going to be like a fanatic. Now, you won't be stupid and wild and eerie, but you will be beyond yourself in your faith. You'll be beyond yourself in your own believing. That's why you've got to let your minds go. And he promised the same faith. I'm telling him I'm right, because notice what he said. And you believe every word he says. And promised the same faith to the believers in his word. As John 14:12, he said so. Mark 16 and also Mark 11:23, what we just read. Actually, the interpolation of Mark 16 is not for him. That's for us. But he demonstrates fully by 14:12 and 11:23 that Mark 16 is utilized by us on the basis of believing his ministry. Now watch. He has appeared to us in the same form that he did to them in the Old Testament. That's Moses in the pillar of fire. And in the same he did in the New Testament, that's the Logos in the pillar of fire, to the Apostle Paul. And is showed by the same word. That's in there. I believe Rima, showed by the same word, the same Christ. In other words, he's taken the Bible, word by word, and he shows the same thing now. Now watch. And I declare to you that Christ is the Holy Ghost. Now that's a definitive statement, that Christ is the Holy Ghost. It's the same as he said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He speaks of the token, is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a declarative statement, a definitive statement. I declare to you, and it's by revelation and his own experience in God, that Christ is the Holy Ghost. Now watch him begin to deviate from that strong statement and bring it right into line with humanity, because he's going to do it. The word Christ means the anointed one, just a person that's anointed. That is Christ, the anointed one. And that's the Alpha of 2,000 years ago. How many know that's true? That's good. The anointed one. There would be a man that would be anointed. Anointed with what? The Bible said in Acts 2 that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about and did great things, works and things, see that God manifested, proved that he was in this man. Now, remember, he's talking right today now concerning the fact of a pillar of fire. He's talking concerning the fact that Jesus, the man, was anointed by the Holy Ghost. He said, same pillar of fire of the Old Testament is the same pillar of fire this year today. And he tells us unequivocally that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever, and in the form of the Holy Spirit, he's doing it in the pillar of fire. He's doing exactly what he did back there. Now, this brings us categorically to the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, which we read to you many times already. Some folk didn't know it was there in the Bible, and we wouldn't have known either until we looked up. And it says, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." The declaration would come absolutely by a man. Which we know is going to happen again in this particular hour. And again it says in verse 14 of Romans 10, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So, when you're talking about God, you're talking about Logos, you're talking about all of these things, you have to understand that Brother Branham is still talking about himself. God in the pillar of fire anoints the prophet, even to indwelling him. Now, man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, according to paragraph 153, John 14 and 12, and Mark 11, 23. That man anointed brings forth John 14, 12, and Mark 11, 23, proving that he is approved of God, that he is anointed with the Holy Ghost. Now he says up here, the Holy Ghost, that Christ is the Holy Ghost. I declare unto you that Christ is the Holy Ghost. Well, can God anoint himself with God? Does the Holy Ghost anoint himself with himself? No, he is the anointer. So he anoints a man. And these great works and things done, see, that God manifested, proved that he was in this man, Jesus the Christ. Then what does it prove today? It proves that Jesus the Christ, the Holy Ghost, is in William Branham, the prophet, God in the prophets. Now, you've got to watch it and never fail from that. And now, 155. "And now we become anointed with the same Spirit, anointed Messiahs, Messiahs of the last day." Now, Brother Branham categorically said we were Messiahs. So you better watch this. "To shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ," then do it. Prove he's risen from the dead. All of us together can't do it. William Branham has already told us the miracle that was done by creation, the ministry that he had, indicated in the Word, shown to him and vindicated by God, gave him resurrection faith. And it was evidence that he's not dead, but he's risen from the dead. "Greater works than this shall he do." Not many people doing it, but one person doing it. Because the Bible is very correct. The Greek scholars don't like it to be that correct. That's their trouble. They may want to make everything correct for themselves. Like this guy from Chicago, and he don't know what he's even talking about. The man's completely antichrist. I have no fear of saying it. Don't look at me as though I've got a fear. He's antichrist. He just revealed it. He made Brother Branham a fool. Said he's wrong. When the prophet is wrong, Brother Branham said the prophet cannot be judged. Let's understand that. If the prophet cannot be judged, then he is the judge. I don't believe that. Ask Jim. He'll tell you what to do to you. Right against the book. For no reason. You don't judge a prophet. No way. That's why perhaps the greatest revelation God gave me in this message, to understand finally Brother Branham was saying, the judge is here. The sentence has been passed, white throne in open view. What are people looking for? Looking for another Branham? Or maybe you got the sneaking hunch like some weirdos that maybe... look, I don't mean you people here, but anybody hears this statement, you're here, you got to come with you. Maybe you think you're going to be some bigwig or something. You're gonna have something to show. Ha! Fat! You ought to pretend you're an ostrich, stick your head in the sand, and ask God to send a lion by to just snap your head off so close to the sand the poor lion won't get any sand in his teeth. The nicest thing you ever did. All right, we become anointed Messiahs. All right, we become anointed the same Spirit, anointed Messiahs. That's the Jewish word for Christ. Messiahs of the last day, to shine forth the resurrection of Christ, to show that he is not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost. Now, who's going to do that? Now watch.
He's in his people, moving among his bride. How can you be in a moving among? You're either in or not in. The two words are here. He's in the bride, he's moving amongst the bride, with a love affair to her, pouring out into her himself. They are becoming one for the wedding supper. And the same signs promised by the same God in the same word is making the same manifestation. What manifestations? When he was on earth, what David the psalmist said. Now it's repeating. You got a full panoply of the manifestations again. So, Brother Branham is showing his ministry, his identification with Christ, and through it, our identification with Christ. No one but the prophet could make this come to pass, what he says right here. Brother Branham represents the bridegroom as to the word bride, so to speak. Now, 156. Here's an absolute definition. There's nothing left for us to do but believe it. And believe it, or believing it, is the substance that creates a perfect faith. Just think how numb we are. Lukewarm. How many times did he say, go to Africa, they'd see it once and turn the nation upside down? Hundreds of times here. Just got dead to it. We're numb. And let's face it tonight, we are numb to it. We might as well be honest. Say, God help us. Thank God we've got the mechanics, we've got this far. The rest haven't come this far. We've at least come this far. Don't try to anoint yourself. Get your mind made up to believe it. There's nothing left for us to do but believe it. Now, what are we looking for? We're looking for the resurrection and the rapture. That's what we're looking for. Brother Branham has categorically stated this is what it's all about to him. He's sure of the resurrection. He knows that God's going to do it. Because God is going to create again, not by sex, but by taking the elements that are here and creating by them, bringing us forth in brand new bodies. Not these old bodies. There's nothing left for us to do but believe it. Believe what? What's already happened. Getting a lot of friends I've got want to look way down the road to the resurrection when Brother Branham comes back. Yes, he will come back. But if you don't believe this here now, I don't care how many times he appears to you, you've shot your wad. There's nothing left for us to do believe it. Believe what? The manifestations and the declaration based upon the prophet. And that creates a perfect faith. How numb we are to this truth. So just think about that for a minute. In other words, can we thoroughly accept what Brother Branham said? You know, there's too many cooks spoiled the broth. And everybody wanted to be in Brother Branham's ministry, grab the ball and run with it. You don't get rest and peace that way. The only time you can get rest and peace is know that the thing was done right. All right, so the absolute definition we have before us concerning this that Brother Branham presents to us in his ministry, the anointed man of the end time, you believe it. You can take it. That will bring you the perfect faith. Now, he's introducing to you, remember, Mark 16. That's why he said, take this message for your healing. I've said it to you dozens of times, but tonight I'm explaining it, because this is the first time I've gone into it. All I knew was to say it, but I'm telling you how it's done. So you can see there's a lot of breathing in this message that still isn't being capitalized upon. All right, now let's see. Has he done all things well? Has he ever told us anything but what happened just exactly as he said it? Now he's put us on the witness stand. See? Hasn't he performed and hasn't the great pillar of fire been seen amongst us and done just exactly like he promised? There it is right there. All right? What did he call the great pillar of fire in paragraph 154 and 5? Christ himself. Okay? And done exactly just like he promised to do. Haven't we seen it? Hasn't science taken it after it's been predicted that what would happen? Go right there and have it even in the papers and magazines. That's the angelic circle. Pass it right back and show it when it's told you months before it happened. Hasn't he done just exactly the way he did in the Old Testament and the New Testament? There he's right back again to Moses and Paul. And William Branham, three in a row, that's all, no more, no less. And it's just exactly the same one. The same Holy Spirit comes and is the discerner. The Word of God, that's Logos in the Bible, which is quicker and sharper than a two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that right? Isn't that the same God? And that same one is not a stranger off somewhere else. Oh, he said, you're looking right at me. I'm not God, but you're looking right at me. The anointed man of the hour. The pillar of fire wasn't telling us anything. You're telling Brother Branham. We got it all through Brother Branham. Now listen, he's here. He's here and he does this to create a perfect faith. I feel him. One time he said, I feel him standing up inside of me. Now, one, I know he's here now. Two, I know his spirit is here. Now, is he saying there's two spirits? No. He's just commenting on it. He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost. I know that he knows all things. Hebrews 4:12, the discernment. Amen. And he knows that we know. Because a crowd of 5, 10, 15, 20,000, he took every spirit under his control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man could hide. You should have seen him in a meeting. When someone dared to perk up in his heart and challenge him, he just whirled like that when the prophet was challenged, just whirled and looked. I told you the time I was fooling with him, just kidding. Whirled on me, just froze for about 1.5 minutes, just looked at me and relaxed. I should have said, okay, Brother Branham, what did you see but what you wanted to see? I would have got a reading from the top of my head to the toes, last and from my hair to my toenails. He looked through and in. And I want to tell you, brother, it's just the white throne is the same way. No use you trying to hide. Now, he knew that. And furthermore, he can prove it. And he did prove it. And we, believing it, have the elements that create this perfect faith. Now, we know the perfect faith, brother and sister, is going and homing in to the rapture and the resurrection and rapture. We know the healing is a minor. But remember, before it's over, that sweet spirit of Christ will be amongst us. There won't be one person not here. Now, what am I trying to tell you? Nothing but the simple truth. Believe this message more and more and more and more until the mechanics become living word. It is no longer Rhema, but it's Logos. And you become, because you are a part of Logos. He wants to do something. I know it. He's been doing something. He's been doing something to create this perfection of faith in the people. That's the net result of the message. And discernment will show you the truth of it. 158. Are we going to walk into eternity? It's a physical thing. I told you, you bring it up. We're going to walk into physically. Like it was in the days of Noah, they'd soul saved. Are we going to come like Lot, three out of Sodom? Are we going to come in these days, the days of John the Baptist, six believers? Let us believe, for his works are perfect. That word perfect means they're generally correct, but also they're finished. They're finished in this hour here. They're manifested daily and perfectly before us, showing that he is the Word. The Word, Hebrews the 4th chapter, says, the Logos of God is sharper. Any two-edged sword, even discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think of that. The Word of God is that, a discerner of the intents of the heart. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the Word made flesh is the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. Now, that's an interpolation. You just blot it out of your minds. Let's read it the way it is. The Word made flesh is the Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly to bring you to a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. That is a definition then that is absolutely astounding. The Word made flesh is the Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly to bring to you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. Now, what has Brother Brown's ministry been all about? This very thing he's talking about. When you begin to stand on this, look at you, it'll be foreign to you. And let's understand it. Many of these things are a little bit too tough for our minds. They're foreign to us. Keep saying it. Keep working at it. Keep looking at it until it gets a hold of you. See? Don't sit back and think, well, that doesn't really cut with me. I don't. Oh, just stop that nonsense. Say, hey, bless God, it's true. I told you, I saved my life today. I sat in Brother Branham's meetings up in Yuma, Arizona. It's just for me special. He said, the shout is a mess. I said, oh, Lord, Brother Branham. You said so many things in your life, but this is just too much. Suddenly, when was he ever wrong? Okay, shouts the message. And that's put me what I've taught you all these years and has gone around the world. And don't think everybody believes it the way we do. Or they got the same spirit about it we've got. Don't kid yourselves. I wasn't born yesterday. You weren't either. You sat in my ministry long enough to know these things. I'm not trying to lead you. I'm trying to tell you some truth. I know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't be up here talking to them. I'm fully aware of White Throne. Certainly. All right. In other words, the days of the Son of Man, the kingdom of God in our midst, amongst us, in us, brings about in a Sodom, Noahic condition the ministry of Jesus Christ revived. To the same end, it was back there, where the bride will be enlightened with the true revelation of God, positioning her and in her hour, in order that destruction may fall upon those who reject. You're looking at it right in this hour. The Word made flesh is the Word operating in human flesh. Now, it doesn't mean that the Word made flesh comes by an operation. It means that the operating of that Spirit, manifesting that Word, proves that that is Word in human flesh. See? That's what it's doing. Then the Word is made flesh. And Brother Branham says, the prophet is the living Word of God made manifest. And he said, as you believe the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. I said, Brother Branham, one day, what do you mean when you say the Son of Man, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh? I don't remember even saying it. I can't find one place he said it, but I asked him flat. Or I said, what does it mean? Where did I get it? I don't know where I got it. He said, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh is a bride in every age. This tells you how it's done. You are not expected to produce this. You are expected to believe this. And as you believe it, you get this. Because you're not to be ministers and prophets and things. Oh, God, if you got that in your mind, that just abuse yourselves now. You ain't nothing but nothing unless God does something with you and for you. And I'm nothing. A little bit tough on those statements. I'm going to hang tough on them. Maybe you need it. Need some lessons once in a while. Blow your mind, plumb apart, and get put you together again. Don't try to be what you're not, and don't get in the way of the guy that is what he is. Remember, you're here. I never got in William Branham's way. His testimony was, Lee, you never, ever used me. Never tried to take the ball from him. Too many people do. That's what's happened, mentioned before this, when I said, you pray for my brother. Can't leave a man alone. All you've got to do is believe. In this church, all you need to do is listen. There's certain things other than incumbent upon you. But you don't have to get in this pulpit one way, shape, or form. Your prayers are requested. Your prayers are required. I've got them. I thank you for it. For them. Your interest, your attention, thank you. If it weren't for you people, I couldn't preach like this. These things promptly go over my head. But coming in here, things begin to gel and come together. Becomes lucid, concise, and clear. All right. You get what you're looking at. What you're supposed to get. Which is supposed to be your perfection of faith. That when you believe this, that's all that's required because you've had all the rest. This is restoration by Elijah. Why can't we look at it? Why don't they look at it, he might as well say. Not now mystical. It's real. The devil has put everything in the world in front of you to stumble you, to keep you from believing it. Now listen to what he said to the Pentecostals in that nature. He'll bring in a meeting and try to throw everything he can in front of you, shake it away from you. Why, you always got a bigger tent. Alan's got more dynamic faith. This fella, that fella. Brother Branham never came to be a competitor. Vessels are not in competition. They don't have enough brains to be in competition. They're containers. William Branham didn't have brains to be in competition. He was a container. He tells us himself, I have a gift to get out of the way. Not contrary, my Lord. I've got to get finished tonight somehow. And I did not say that derogatory. It's the truth. He said, against my better judgment, all the judgment I had was to be a trapper or a skunk skinner. I was not the one packing this message and saying these things. No, they blamed a lot of it on me and said I was the guy that ruined him. Oh, Lord have mercy. They didn't know the fount of joy and blessing was in this man. Any old meeting come along and run. Any whisper come along. And you wonder. Tap. Let me tell you something. You're dead, dead, dead to everything outside this message if you really believe. If you say this message and believe wrong, you're still dead, dead, dead. You're between a rock and a hard place. Personally, I don't care because I feel I'm 100% right. I can't prove anything. You don't try to prove anything. I'm just telling you what he preached. Why can't we look at it? It's not mystical at all. It's real. Just the devil comes and puts every stumbling block in front of you to keep you from believing it. He'll bring in a meeting, try to throw everything you can in front of you. Shake it away from you. The Bible says, rise and shake yourself. Pinch yourself. Brother Brandon, what are you trying to tell the people? They got excited over his ministry. Then other people, false anointed, rose up. So they couldn't stay and hear the message. Run, run, run. Like Judge Sullivan told us about that farmer had those fine hogs. Beat on an empty drum. The hogs come around to get something to eat. One day a bunch of woodpeckers invaded the place where the hogs were. They beat on the hollow logs. Those pigs ran themselves plumb sick and skinny, running from drum beat to drum beat. Paul the Apostle warned there'd be many voices in the air. If he warned that, then it's got to be true there'd be all these voices in the air. And if they started in his day, they're multitudinous in this day. Then God knows there'd have to be one voice to get us back. As Paul the Apostle said, you have many teachers, but you got one Father, because I've begotten you in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least I've already seen you been fooling around with some man out there, preaching another Jesus, preaching another gospel, preaching another spirit. Where does that lead from 2,000 years? It leads to destruction, brother, sister, to the lake of fire. You know that as well as I do. And people stand up and say, got the nerve to say, well, we have a perfect doctrine. You have a perfect hell is what you've got to go to. It's risen from beneath the lake to take you down. It's only perfection. The perfection of the devil is all they got. Pulled his master card on him. And God let him do it. Anointed ones of the end time. Run to your meetings, he says. They can't sit still. If the Spirit is here now, he's going to swing into discernment. If the Spirit is here, he knows you. You've got one thing to do, and that's to believe it, to accept it. He knows you. Do you believe that? He knows what's in you. He knows what you are. He knows what your desire is. He knows what you have need of. Now, he looks down at Jim Poole. Jim, do you believe he knows about that baby? Took his fever before you left 105. Do you believe he'll heal it? Come on today. Say, I'll leave it. It'll leave. I just looked over there and saw them before they left home, what they did. Now, that's true. Now, someone said, well, that's telepathy. That's spiritism. Go ahead and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. No problem. You ever been to spiritist meeting? Oh, come on. Those birds haven't got a thing. Well, they got the devil. Well, they're very smart. They're very entertaining. I used to watch the great Myers anytime he's on TV. I used to just sit there glued in when I could see him in Florida. Well, you put everything you wanted to know in a fishbowl. He'd pick it out. He wouldn't even read it. He just said what's on that thing and said it was going to happen. He had the power of hell. You know, people get carried away because some little thing comes in, some devil or something. They got everything. Go to your Bible and see where it is. Go to your Bible and see if God sells his name down the road, thus saith the Lord. Then God back it up. It's not thus saith the Lord. Boy, oh boy. Look at me. You put an ad in the paper. They copy that ad wrong. Says puts an ad in. And somehow they got something in there for worth $89, and they got the thing in the wrong place. It says $8.90. Do they give you that $8.90? You say, well, that's in the paper. They said, who cares? It's a mistake. And next day the paper retracts it with an apology. God backs his word up, brother, sister. And if it's in his name, it'll come to pass. Show me these other people that had it, didn't have it. Mrs. Little, I knew her. She died of a heart attack many years ago. I buried her up there in Chicago. Mr. Little, do you believe God would give you victory of that diabetes? There's a woman sitting beside you. Don't know you, but the Spirit's upon her. What she's worried about, she's got a little child that has to have an operation on her eye or something. She's from Chicago. There's a redheaded woman sitting here. Quicker and powerful than a two-edged sword to discern her. What is it? The word. Do you believe that? Certainly. As far as I know, the little girl got healed. Lady sitting right next row, but just had an eye operation. Didn't do too well. But you believe. You'll get all right. You believe it? All right, you're healed. You should be thinking about that. Told where their mind should be going, not wandering around, but get on this subject. Mrs. Peckinpah, she's up there in Arizona right now. Still living, best of my knowledge. I think it's Phoenix. It isn't for you, it's for this grandson sitting here. You're praying about it, but you believe that God will make it well? You believe God can tell me what's wrong with him? Doctors don't know. No, that's right, swelling in the lungs. That's right, he's got blood condition, correct. You're kind of confused about whether you're going to let him go to school or not. Quicker, more power, two-edged sword. I see a woman losing her food. She's somewhere. Let me get her face somewhere. See? Got to look around for it. Yes, she's sitting back there. Her name's Mrs. Llewellyn. If she breathes with all her heart, there's stomach trouble to leave. We'll leave you. Amen. There's a lady sitting right across from her, looking at me right now, sitting on the end. She's wearing glasses. She's got arthritis in her left hand. It was. It isn't now. Now, just wait a minute. He made a statement there. We'll get to that. He made a statement. Just if you believe. What about the little baby back there? Comes from high, got cancer in the eye. You believe God will heal it? He'll do it if you believe. Akron, Ohio. You believe now that God will make it well? He'll do it. What is it? More quicker and powerful. He's quoting right there for our day. Here's this little nurse. Something struck her. She's got trouble in her shoulder. That's right. Is that right? All right. Believe it. It'll leave. See? The Word of God discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what's he doing? He's proving to you and me from this, Mark 16. We don't have John 14 and 12. We don't have Mark 11, 23. Not that there's not something in there to trickle down, but we take Mark 16. Now, there's no prayer cards in this building. There's nobody to give out any prayer cards. We don't use them here. We just kind of, that's just kind of keep in order. We want you, do you want to get prayed for? How many want to be prayed for while the Word is manifested through flesh? How many want to be prayed for while the Word is manifested through flesh? Now, do you think that's Rhema or Logos? That's Logos demonstrating Rhema. Let this row here get up and come down first this way. Right down this aisle first here, right in here. You don't want to get prayed for. After that, I want this aisle to come down after, and then the other aisle. Quicker, more powerful. Could a two-edged sword do that? No, sir, but the Word of God can do it. Why? It is the Word of God. Now you believe that? Now there again is Logos, according to Rhema. The great physician, where is this sister down in Tennessee? Sister Unger, her name is Sister Downing. She was an Unger. The great physician now is near. I'll never forget that in Fort Wayne that night when that little Amish girl, or Dunkers, was sitting there playing that. The great physician now is here. Hearing that little boy was healed, she jumped up and the Holy Ghost fell upon her. Pretty hair fell down across her shoulders. The piano never missed a key. The great physician now is near the sympathizing Jesus. Supernatural power moving those piano keys playing. The great physician now is near. Look, you believe you ought to. Remember when you pass. Now, if you don't believe it, don't come. Don't believe why. Because I got a little funny feeling about, you know, this has to do with healing only. No. 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 See, he said, if you only believed who I am, you'd all be healed. There was the thing right there, to really see what was in our day. See, to really understand, see. Now, if you don't believe, don't come. See, I'm going to. I'm a son who believes it. I'm coming to believe it. See? All right. There are three things to believe. One, about the prophet, who he is. Number two, that God speaks through him. Three, to believe the promise of the Bible. And that's, and Brother Branham said, every promise in the Bible can be yours through right mental attitude. Let me find it for you here. I've written it down in my Bible. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring it to pass. The right attitude is to receive it and say, it's thus saith the Lord. Now, was that thus saith the Lord, Brother Branham? Certainly was. So you're on your own. All right. The Bible says, these signs upon them believe, shall follow them to believe. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's exactly right. Now, that's under conditions if you believe it. That's John. Not, that's not necessarily you and John 14 and 12 as Brother Branham. But John 14 and 12 makes you to see this. See? Now, I just I proved it to you. I believe it. You see? He manifests his word to show that it is his word. Now, this up here was a manifestation of God's word to prove it is his word when you come here, hands laid upon the sick. Now, you got the proof. That takes care of it. Walk on through and get it. Scripture fulfillment to prove that it is. Now, you believe it when you pass by. Will you do it? And when I lay my hands upon you, that's exactly what the Bible said. You got anointing oil over there, Brother Neville? Get that. Come over to the other side. Let this fulfill the scripture. Get over on this side here and anoint every person as he passes by. How's your time? Okay? Now, so that I'll be sure, that I get the prayer of faith for every one of you, let's have everybody put your hands on one another as believers. Just reach over and cross your hands on each other. Just hold hands. See? Cross them. This is where we're going to find out something in a few minutes. I figure is how this advanced my church, this little, what we believe in, see? Seeing as how advanced the people are, how they're ready to take the sword and walk out on the front line and say, I challenge you, Satan, I challenge you. You can't make me disbelieve anymore. See? What are these things done for? So that people will believe. It's the word. It's where that shows that I'm preaching to you the truth. The word. Now, you see, skipping from the manifestation of healing back again to the word. Which a divine healing will not put you in the rapture. Nuh-uh. Oh, something else will. Restoration. The seventh seal does. See? It's the word. It's where that shows I'm preaching to you the truth. The word. The word made flesh. Made flesh in you. Manifested, first of all, showing Brother Branham was the word of God made flesh. And our believing then follows in due course we also. We are not required to produce the signs, but we can receive the signs. In other words, we're not producers. Brother Branham was not a producer either. Only insofar as God gave him the ability to receive and he become a channel. God did the producing, the same as in Jesus Christ. We do not produce, we receive. He's trying to get us in that shape. Okay, the word made flesh in you, made word. Your flesh made word, made life in you, made life in me, see. The great physician, all right, let's bow our heads. Lord, the great physician now is near. You are the physician, I preached your word, and your word has declared that you are here. And you are the same yesterday and forever, and you cannot fail. Now that's what he said, this is my ministry, declare that he is here. You never failed us, Lord. And now let each one of us, each one of these that have their hands on each other, may the blessing of God rest upon them. And as we come prayerfully and as we anoint them with oil, the pastor and I, and pass them through this line, may each one pass through here with faith to believe it, to know that the very God of heaven stands present. There you are. That's not in you. That's a pillar of fire. May each one shake themselves. Can they only this one time, Lord? One more time. Just let them. Let us soak down, Lord, one time. Open their eyes, Lord, that they can see what is going on. What was going on? What did he say? But could they take it to get the perfect faith? No. Now, this can bog you down and this can stop you. It's up to you tonight which way you're going to go. What you're going to do about it. You can let the cares of this world take over. You can just slam it off and say, well, that's not too important. Or you can make it your life tonight. It's up to you. It's up to me. We're in the valley decision, brother, sister. But there's people right here. We've been there for a long time, over 20 years since the prophet is gone. Let us soak down. Open their eyes, Lord, that they can see what is going on. Not a healing line. But the word made flesh. The perfect faith. See? Now, if you are grace believers instead of legalists or eternal security, you can receive this. By grace are you saved through faith. You get this by grace and faith. You cannot doubt what we know to be seen. I cannot doubt what I saw. I can't doubt I saw that microphone cord completely unfurled from his legs. I never winked an eye. Never batted an eye because I was too intent on watching it. Suddenly, instead of being coiled around his legs two times, lying right beside his legs, he hadn't moved and nothing had moved. You tell me what was done. You see, you're hallucinating. It shows how stupid you are. You missed it. You can't believe what I'm telling you, and I was there to see it, then you don't know what I'm talking about. You know this message. You're sitting there, and you bumps on a log. I don't mean to be mean with you. I'm just telling you the truth. God forbid that I hurt anybody's feelings, because I'm not here to do it, but I want to tell you the truth. We're dealing with the reality, brother, sister, that Jesus Christ himself here in the form of the Holy Ghost in the pillar of fire using a prophet did just exactly what he did when he was here on earth, God manifest in flesh. There is no difference in God, period. It is just the vessel. And there's no difference in you and me in that day back there. There are those that made it. Now it repeats. Open their eyes, Lord, that they can see what's going on. Not to be blind, staggering, but to see the reality of the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, heal me. Look, I'm in the same boat. I want to be healed. I want this. Listen, I would stand there with my faith so firm on Brother Branham sitting behind him, as long as I had that cord, sit behind him. Stand there, sit there, just gritting my teeth and saying, turn, look at me. Turn, look at me. He knew I wasn't the guy pulling him, but I was pulling him, making a mess out of him. Pulling so hard. And I was missing what it was all about. I was anxious to get my, whatever I needed, healing. Missed the point. I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you come not in this line unless you feel you've got that perfect faith, because you're only taking their time, somebody else's time. Jack Palmer sat in Macon Arena. I think it was way up there. He knew Brother Branham personally. Knew him well. All right? Jack was eating baby food and dying with his stomach. It's killing him. And Brother Branham, let me say, a man suffering up there, he said his stomach is really hurting him. He's been eating baby food. Oh, he said, it's Jack Palmer. He said, Jack, do you believe me to be God's prophet? He said, used to be believing God's prophet. Yes, he said, you still do believe I'm God's prophet. You're healed. Jack could eat every greasy hamburger and cast iron nails right to this day. All right, what did it? What gave him the healing? You believe me to be God's prophet. That's what it was. If you only knew who I am. Now, you're taking somebody else's time. Don't do it. As long as I've preached to you, have I ever said one thing to you but what had happened? In other words, now, am I or am I not God's prophet? Exactly. The Lord did that. He did it not for me, I believe. He did it for you. How could Brother Branham not believe face to face the pillar of fire over here? How could he not believe the voice out of the trees? Everything else. So what was he doing this for? He tells us to curry favor with the bride, to get us to believe. He did it for you, that you might believe what I'm telling you to be the truth. After you believe it, it'll be all right. and you'll get well. When you come by here, drop your unbelief in this spiritual bucket down here. You won't see it, but it's there. When that oil touches you, drop your unbelief right there. Or Rob say, reach out and touch the radio, teach the TV, touch TV, do this, do that. Brother Ben didn't stoop to those things. I'm not criticizing oral man. He do what he wants to do, help people. Deposit that and walk away with perfect faith that you're well. In other words, you know because you know who he is, you can walk right there and say, drop it right there. See, it's all right. Paragraph 183, skip what's in between. Know you not what I've done to you? See, they've been singing and preaching, and he's been praying. You've called me your... Now watch. He is paraphrasing Jesus and John. Know you not what I've done to you? Remember the Lord, the foot washing? You've called me your pastor, Lord and Master. And you say, well, for so I am. If I, your pastor, have been identified by Jesus Christ that I do his work, then believe my word. By acting this faith, act of faith, by laying hands upon you, I have condemned the disease and afflictions that's bothering you. Believe that, so shall you have your request, regardless of what it is. For all things are possible to them that believe. Believe what? That I, your pastor, have been identified by God. Hey, we've got a God-identified pastor. Well, so we, hallelujah, we got souls won in our church. How do you know you have? You can't prove anything. They don't accept the light of the iron. What's the light of the iron? They're lost. Condemned. I don't care. The blood of Jesus Christ could have been buckets and tubs. Quantity didn't matter. It was quality. And something was contingent upon your salvation, even with the blood being shed. You can't despise the word and get the blood. Shows you never had the blood in the first place and haven't got the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't despise the word. See? He said, you believe. Believe what? believe what he just said as their pastor, attributed to him. And if they had only known, and I had only known, exactly what he said, look at me and get this flat, I am here. Yeah. You bet. Nobody else could do that. There's no way. He said, on that condition, you come up here, you can get what you want. And I truly believe that I receive it. And in my heart, I accept in my heart every one of your healings. I accept that is done. He said, I'm putting it all on myself now. If you'll just come up here with grace that's been extended and the faith that's been demonstrated, and you can take that, I'm going to tell you myself what's going to happen to you on my authority as I stand here, God working through me. Now, brother, sister, that's where they dropped the ball. Because Brother Branham could discern, and they couldn't put the two together. And they lost it. Simply lost it. They couldn't get the great thing. I believe it. I believe it with all that's in me. Also with my hands upon these handkerchiefs lying here. I've been watching it close. I believe that they'll produce exactly what the people requested. What do you mean, watching it close? The exact time to lay his hands on the handkerchief for the anointings of grace. This is coming into that third pole. I'm believing it. You think there's going to be a third pole without you and me being part of it? No way. We're getting in shape right now for some kind of a third pole, in the sense that there's a manifestation of a third pole that is not the seventh seal. The third pole is the word, but there's also manifestation. People want to put that right through with the tent ministry coming up, whatever it is. I'm not arguing anybody. I don't argue with anybody. Because you know why? When Brother Branham left the scene, God didn't. The word didn't leave the scene. And I believe we have every hope and every opportunity to catch up where we left off. If indeed we left off, it just seems that we have. Now, I'll ask you a sincere question. You're the pastor of the prayer line. Can you actually believe and feel now that there is something happening to you since you've had hands laid on you? Right, raise your hand. There you're at. Here it is. This is what we've waited for. Now, this is not. This is just starting to bloom now. See, just started with, I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. I'm taking this charge of faith, and I'm going right back to begin and come in. See, the kind of raised faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before. Not a faith, but a perfect faith, built up to here. This place is coming. When you really know that you're settled, this is that. This is that prophet which was for to come. We have heard and we recognize and do know. That's what you're talking about. And watch a perfect faith, a perfect God, with a perfect heart, keep a perfect promise by his perfect word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. And what? We're coming now to perfection, because the people have to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what's holding it away right now. Healings? No. They're going to come. No. When the Spirit and the Word become absolutely vitally one in you and me, that faith and that love he talked about in real manifestation, all these things are being laid down right now in our lives. If you people do not know what I know, and I'm certain that you must know that something is going on now that has not been going on before like it's going on now. It has to do with you and me and this blessed Word of God that's been brought to us. Wholly sold out to the message is what it's all about. We're coming now to the perfection, because the people have to come to this in order for the rapture. What perfection? The perfection of faith. And he told us what it was. That's what's holding it away right now. He's waiting for the church to come to that perfect rapturing faith. I'm looking for it. It means a lot of shaking down for me. It means a lot for you. But together, we'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. See? Paragraph 185. Don't you love him? Just think right here now. Already begun a work in your body of your healing. Because he promised it would. Well, brother, sister, if we're becoming the Word of God in our flesh by piling word upon word, and anybody dares to say we're not going to come to healing, that person has got to have a flat tire. Yeah. Mentally, spiritually. Come on. See, because it's going to be. And now, did you catch what I was saying tonight? Have you got the riddle of it? Not Mark 16. The riddle of what? If you say to this mountain, don't doubt, but believe what you have said. Now listen to me. I'm quoting the prophet. And the prophet was speaking to the people. Did you hear me? He said, tell you that God held me to my word. And I said it and it was done. Now I've been saying things over you. Do you know then it's done because I said it? You see why the people weren't here while I still had my hemorrhoids? Not bad, of course. Oh, I had them down there in Florida. I pulled pretty hard to get rid of them. In fact, he turned around and said, there's a preacher up here. He said, got hemorrhoids, you can get rid of them. That's about 30-some years now, but it's all right. They're getting better. I can wait patiently. Yeah. We're not half smart as we think we are. Nice to confess we're wrong. We're not really red hot. We're a little afraid we might say somebody apple cart. That's why this certain good little brother from Switzerland came over here, and he was quoting this fella, this Bert Olson. When Olson ranted, people say, in the message. Well, I said, son, if you're not in any message, you're out. Falling for some little tiddity wink, junk, against this word. I want to know some answers. Brother Branham told Perry Green I defended him too strong. He should be here now. I didn't know what I know now. If you say to this mountain, don't doubt, but believe what you said. And who was doing the same? William Branham. They didn't even say what they had. William Branham said it. He did all the same. Now watch it. In less than 5 minutes' time, every hand went up to the work had begun on them right now. Oh my, there he is, that did it. What is it? The presence of the great physician. Let's raise our hands and begin singing. Let's just stand still a minute. Let's just worship in our hearts. Think of it. God, he's here. Who? Who identified himself as being the Word? My question to these preachers concerning the presence, who came down? Who appeared? Who is here in a way he wasn't here before? Or the prophet lied when he said there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there's a fresh new message start, not the same old tired thing. And the same old tired saying, he's here. Christ in the midst. The reason I'm sarcastic, a little bit rough on this thing, is the fact because I'm parroting, showing you that they're wrong in their assessment of what is really the truth for this hour. Not that he hasn't been here, but not this way for 2,000 years. Remember Brother Brown said the pillar of fire went behind that curtain, was not seen again for many hundreds of years? The pillar of fire went, wasn't seen again. He's telling you the same thing. It hasn't been seen since the Apostle Paul, William Branham. Well, to put it this way, Moses, Paul, William. Yeah, no problem. MPW, do you remember? No problem. You just got the nerve to believe it. Okay. Who identified himself as being the Word? Not yesterday, today. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. He said, if you make Jesus the Word, you make three gods. The Word God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's him yesterday and forever. And they called his name Jesus the Christ. Human relationship. Jesus, Jehovah, Savior. So who's here? God is here. And the same yesterday and forever. The Word is sharp and a two-edged sword. In other words, coming into manifestation, don't you try to buck God in manifestation. What happened down in Pharaoh's day? They bucked God in manifestation. Let him buck God in manifestation. Sharp and two-edged sword, even discerning thoughts and intents. What you come for, what your purpose is being here. Who are you? He can tell you. Identify Jesus Christ to be Messiah. And today it identifies him of being the same Messiah, Hebrews 13:8. The great physician who is here, who said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If you say this mountain be removed, don't doubt in your heart, but believe you can create squirrels. You and I don't believe that. We believe it's done. Who has no way at all or nothing, dare to believe. It's my own faith that goes and does that. My faith in what? what he challenged me to ask. He challenged me to ask it. And I received his challenge in obedience to his word. Brother Brandon, do the same to us now. And it appeared. God in heaven knows that's true. Can he also heal the sick? If he can lift me with the face up this way, even for the people, even if they can't climb to that bracket, see? If they can't do it, he can use my faith. And they sat there trying to use their own. My sister-in-law made the most wonderful statement I've ever heard in my life. She said, I don't care who owns it, long as I can use it. Well, God, I've got to have faith. The prophet said, but you know, I've got something to hold to you. We couldn't get out of the way. So, see, if they can't do it, he can use my faith. He can lift me to that place. And I'm climbing for you. I'm believing for you. I speak of you. What a tremendous meeting that would have been if they'd have caught it. So, hallelujah. You mean you're going to pay my bills, doctor? Yeah, I'm only operating to pay your bills. Well, hallelujah. You're my kind of a doctor. Didn't believe God at all. I'm your brother standing here as your brother and intercessor, trying my best to hold you before God. And I'm standing here right before the white throne right now. Right before the white throne. White throne. Why the white throne? What time we got? 20 minutes. Well, we're there. Okay. White throne. Let's take a look at the white throne. Romans, the second chapter, coming right up. Going to read verses 1 to 16. Therefore thou inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. For we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, according to them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, that thou doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You know why the flood came on the earth? Now you're doing the same thing right now to bring it on. And the whole Muslim weirdos, they're standing up saying, hey, listen, we're going to do it our way, boy. You're going to pay the cost and all. Oh, yeah. Spit right in God's face. Do you think these plagues would strike America except the prophet were here? Come on. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads thee to a change of mind? We saw it in the prophet. But after the hardness and impenitence of thy heart treasures up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. We had it, so the tribulation's coming. And the white throne, and Brother Branham put them right together. Who will render every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath. Now you know what those terms are, righteousness and unrighteousness. I've explained to get the old message of that. Tribulation, anguish, and wrath upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew, first also Gentile. Can't judge a Gentile unless they have it, first of all, because you can't judge a man until you make him aware of it. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew, first to the Gentile. This is the end time. For there is no respect of person with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. Be judged without it. And many that have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are just before God. Not the hearers of the law just before God, but the doers of the law to be justified. For in the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these things, these not having law, but are a law to themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, and meanwhile accusing or excusing each other. Now watch. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, we saw it. William Branham, with the gospel of Paul, William Branham message, could stand there and judge every man's heart. The secrets. White throne is on now. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 4th chapter, and verse 12. I'm going to read the whole thing. Brother Branham kept leaving it out. He just read the first part. We're going to read the whole thing. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creation or creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked. Thou art naked, wretched, miserable, and blind, and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And God stood right there, and we had to do with him. We said, ah, forget this nonsense. He's just a man. Where's his credentials?
Yep.
I'm standing right here before the white throne now and taking that. Pointing my finger to the bloody sacrifice there. Speaking through his name that is done. It has to happen. It has to happen. You know it's happened. I know it's happened. So you know it's happened. That's so. Cause of repetition. He said, I spoke the word like he told me. You know, brother, this brings us to a place where we realize how little we realize the truth that Brother Branham was actually God's mouthpiece. And when he was there, we heard God word by word. No man doesn't want that. Well, I got a book to go by. Sure, so you can argue and fuss and scream and act what you are. See why Brother Branham couldn't do great and mighty miracles? He wasn't supposed to. He couldn't do too much, or they'd have been caught up in him. If he'd had a confrontation with men like Oral Roberts, he'd have carried men like Oral Roberts out feet first. That's right. He couldn't have them. God got him off the hook each time. The devils were subject unto us in thy name, sweetest name in mortal tongue, the devils. The name that raises the dead, heals the sick, cleanses the lepers, that casts out devils, that makes Christians. There's not another name under heaven. I live in it, baptize in it, believe in it, worship in it. Well, let me become a part of it. That's good. Let me lose my own self and find it, Lord, in thee. That name called Jesus Christ, the anointed Messiah, that I may press my way through the mud of unbelief to reflect the beauty of Jesus the Christ. It's the same yesterday and forever. God bless you now. When you get back here next Sunday, give a testimony on how you're healed and what happened this week. Watch and see what happens. It's over. How do you know? Listen, he told me to say it. You know that, brother, sister? I'm sorry to say something here that's only too true. This is shutting the barn door when the horse is gone. They believe too late. We're not believing too late. The dead haven't come back. The rapture's not taking place. But those people, and I could have been there, I don't know. I really don't know if I was there or not. Could well have been, because I attended so many services. It went over my head, too. It went over just about everybody's head. Even the deity cult went way over their heads, because they tried to make Brother Branham God, and he wasn't God, but they came closer. As I said, and he said on the table, when I asked him, I didn't know he'd already said it. He said, Brother Branham, in the day of judgment, will it not be more tolerable for those people who called you God, because they saw something, and others saw nothing. He said, Brother Vail, that's exactly right. He told me to say it. And I said it. It's over. And now Pastor Neville. Perfect faith. Well, I preach hard. I preach tough, but you got to admit one thing. You've got more peace in your souls tonight concerning where you stand than you've had in all of your lives. Or I don't know what I'm preaching. You might as well go home and stay home, because I told you wrong. But I told you right. Well, now where are you going from here? Can you now see why I've talked all this loyalty, family, all these things so strong? And I say, I'm not here to ride herd in you. I'm here to preach the word of God. But one thing, you will not stand in my way of preaching this truth here. That's why people make their phone calls. And some are desperate. That's why the letters come in. Because this word I preach tonight is exactly what Brother Branham said. And we know after the fact, as we've never known before, that he stood there and he said, God told me to say it. Now, I'll tell you something. I don't know how many were sitting there, Doc. But those that came in that prayer line, and there were maybe prayer, I don't know. But when he took that authority, there were there those who did believe. There had to be. Because God doesn't come and waste his breath on the desert air. He doesn't speak to the winds that they carry a message, but there's nothing to receive it. There was somebody there. It'd be nice
which is impossible, I suppose, until Judgment Day, or the resurrection and the rapture, when we're all together, to say, were you there that time, that night? Tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. It's easy to look back and realize that many a healing meeting, I was in one with Brother Branham especially, people got healed, didn't even know they're getting healed. It was there and suddenly it wasn't there. You know, many times when Brother Branham took the burden of faith on himself away from the people, I would say this, it is likely, more than likely, that many more were healed than I would give credit for normally. I remember going to a hospital one time. I told you about it. A lady had cancer. Something was distended. I told her exactly what would happen. I prayed it happened. The doctor examined her. Stomach was flat. No cancer. This doctor was a Mormon doctor who attended this woman's son when he gave him an overabundance of sulfides. And literally took his kidneys out. But they believed in healing, the boy was healed. So he had the witness number one to the boy being healed. Now the mother, many years later, is lying there. And she's healed. Not a thing wrong. And the nurse said, well, what is it? Wasn't it there in the first place? Or something like that. He got very angry. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, it was there. And that closed the argument. Now, I'm not going to stand and say my faith did it, but I'm going to let you know one thing. If God told me exactly what was going to happen, it happened. I was operating in a realm of faith that it had to happen, because that's going to be. Now, I didn't speak a word on it. I just told her what was shown to me. Now, that would not be what Brother Branham's talking about. That's merely the gift of faith operating. I've had it happen different times. Never saw one sign of evidence, but every person I told it happened exactly. And one lady came back 7 years later. It was right to the very doctor was told her. Doctor told her all wrong. I told her 100% right. It was faith in operation. But faith is the key to every gift and everything anyway. Now, let's understand that. That we were playing, that we were into and a part of the greatest stakes in all history where a man could get back to the tree of life and walk into immortality. This ministry manifested to us the Word of God made flesh was the evidence that we are at that hour for that to occur. Now remember what Paul said. If God gave us his Son, then with him also he freely gave us all things. If he gave us this great thing, which is the ultimate, then with him are also all the promises of God for healing, for peace, for sustenance, whatever is necessary. And whatever comes upon this earth, brother, sister, let us rest assured, though you and I cannot boast in ourselves, we can boast in God that because of this, we are more than able, we are more than conquerors, and nothing shall by any means separate us from the love of God. We shall endure and rule and reign with Christ upon the earth 1,000 years. You're looking at reality now. And you know what? It'll grow and it'll grow on you. And you've got to believe it's going to grow on you. You've got to believe it's going to take over more and more. And without being a legalist, you and I can work on it, work with it, by filling our hearts and minds and refusing to allow things to detract us from it. See, we already have basic principle. The thing is to work with basic principle, which we can well do. Well, that's enough. 10:30 Sunday morning, let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness, your mercy, Lord. We're very, very grateful for everything you're doing. We're satisfied you're doing it, Lord.
Certainly so many things are happening in us and to us, Lord. We're very, very grateful. And Lord, we see tonight as we've never seen before the magnificence of this tremendous ministry, the clarity of the word that has been set before us, the knowledge that this man had and passed on to us. And now the knowledge which we have, because it was only given to him for us, we thank you for it, therefore, what we have got tonight, it is ours. We receive it, we claim it. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, who so clearly reveals to us the mechanics, we know that the dynamics have to be forthcoming. Lead us, O God, into the dynamics, which is, as he's already said, to the resurrection and the rapture, into immortality, even eternality, as he said. And let not one of us miss it, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord, as never before, knowing the prophet left us a little message when he said, love each other. You won't be always this way when I'm gone, he said. But remember, don't let anything get between you, whatever it is, nothing at all. Now, Father, we're going to adhere to that tonight by the grace of God, by your word, Lord, and by your word in us, and by the Holy Spirit in us, interceding and empowering in every way, Lord, so that the right hand of fellowship is not just right hand of fellowship, but of love and tender mercy and grace toward each other, so that no matter what, we see each other in Christ Jesus our Lord, wholly and totally forgiven, and a complete entity with the complete integrity of Christ within that person through Christ himself. As you know, our own prophet told us, Lord, from you, that you do not see us, you merely hear our voices and see our representative, our representation, Jesus Christ the Lord. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for it. And we praise you, O God, tonight. And knowing, Lord, that there'll be having devolve upon us even greater trials than we've had previously. There might be things come upon us, Lord. We know that the devil trying to just knock us out of the way from this truth. But we know, O God, the devil is a liar. We might not have at this moment, Lord, the physical of the immortal and the physical well-being of an immortal person. But we have everything it takes to get us there in your time and your hour, Lord. Therefore, Father, we have grace immeasurable. And we have faith to perfection. We have everything, Lord, right before us. And we have the truth that the prophet said it. As he said in the rapture tape, thus it has been spoken, thus it will be, three times. It's got to be. So, Father, we thank you for the truth tonight. Has it been given to us? It's ours. We accept it. Every way we can, Lord, it is ours. And there's something we can do about it. Father, may you just make us red hot concerning it. We're tired of being lukewarm or even cold. Father, for this grace and mercy that you give us tonight, this love, Lord, that you put deeper and deeper in our hearts, and this faith of God, which becomes even more powerful than ever, unto thee we shall ascribe the honor and glory, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.